Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On site at Capital One Arena, ahead of Game 5 of the Caps and the Canes, where Grant and Danny were in sections 103 and 104 in the main concourse. So when you get into the building, before you go to your seat, come on by and say hello. We will be right here.
What are you doing to protect your family's assets? As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morag can help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Did you see the texts being fired off today by our friends at Condori and Murray?
So I have not caught up. I had baby duty all morning until my mother-in-law took over, kind of the middle of the day. So I'm not totally caught up on things, but I'm seeing notifications pop up as I'm giving the little guy some milk. What's going on?
Sounds like the fellas are into the possibility of a show field trip to Lambeau Field.
Yo, okay.
For Thursday night football in week 2.
All right.
And there's some scuttlebutt if we're interested of a secondary trip to Monday night football's Arrowhead Stadium site and a matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, wow.
Now, they've also just thrown out some bait on the hook saying, I know you guys want nothing to do with Madrid, but ... So here's the deal, just to peel back the curtain a little bit. I like to go places. I like being out and about. Going to games is fun for me, right?
Yep.
It's also work. I also think we should go to games because that's where the work happens. You're more informed when you go to games and lock in, when you go to the locker room or the clubhouse or whatever. Danny is more of a, I would say, watch from home guy.
Yeah.
So they know who they're dealing with.
They know who you are. Yeah.
Because on the text message, they're like, I think Lambeau's a good trip. If you guys want to, we could also do Kansas City, ... Danny, question mark. And then they basically were like, I heard you guys talking about Madrid. It doesn't sound like you're that in, but we could figure that out. Like, let's talk about it.
Man.
Danny, I got a feeling you're kind of like a Lambeau and you're good kind of guy.
No, see, here's the thing. I don't mind going to games, going to places I've never been, going to cool cities. Like, I've never been to, I'm trying to think of a Nubs place. Like, I've never been to, like...
Boise, Idaho.
Yeah, I've been to Jacksonville. But if I'd never been to Jacksonville, I wouldn't be like, dude, we got to see Jacksonville before I die. I think that about Lambeau.
So you think, can we get that put on social? Danny thinks Jacksonville's a hard thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Tell people. Jacksonville's nubs. Ponte Vedra Beach, in and around Jacksonville, is awesome. The rest of it's a giant strip mall with alligators. Sucks. It's a sprawling, stupid landmass, and I hate it. One of my least favorite cities that we have.
Wow.
But, like,
I've seen some of my favorite Cops episodes based in Jacksonville.
Mm.
It's always, like, the neighbor without his shirt on who's, like, riding a bike.
Now, this
for
is
some
on
reason.
Cops?
Oh, yeah.
I'm kidding.
Cops,
yeah.
Shirtless, dude on a bike in your neighborhood. Yeah. Cop pulls him over.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, and I know this is crazy, he's up to no good.
Shenanigans from this guy?
He's getting into some mischief and some tomfoolery.
I am stunned by that. But, yeah, so Lambeau's on a bucket list for me as a sports fan. I still like sports, by the way. I really want to go see it. It's up there with some of the ballparks that I wanted to visit. I got to go to World Series games at Fenway. I got to go to Wrigley finally. I'd never been until we went there for the Division Series.
Was that your
years.
First Wrigley
I'd
experience?
Never actually been to Wrigley. I mean, I'd walked by it before but never got to go in. As part of a trip. So that was, you know, great time in Chicago. That was awesome. I got to go to whatever it's AT&T or Pac Bell. I can't remember the name of the stadium in San Francisco, which was a bucket list thing for me. Been to PNC Pittsburgh.
So I'm not doubting your Lambeau.
That's where I want to go.
Right.
Kansas City would be cool too, but like if I didn't know that I just get to pick every trip. So I was thinking, hey, it's going to be one. I want Lambeau to be the one.
No, but if the good people at the law firm of Condori and Murray.
Now, is there a website that goes with that?
KMLawyers.com.
Thank you very much.
The official show sponsor of the Grant and Danny radio program. If their goal and their thought is two trips, Lambeau and Arrowhead.
Hell yeah.
I got two thumbs. I'm pretty fired up about that.
Yep.
Is that something that Danny Ruye would make work?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that a scenario where that's one too many for old Mr. Hootie?
No, that's good. I mean,
okay.
The
now, what about Madrid?
Now, that's a big one. I would guess that would probably
I think that's where the line would get drawn by, like, our bosses, where they're like, listen, we're already kind of annoyed that you guys are doing something fun.
Yeah.
Even though we don't have to pay a penny, but you guys are happy about it. So we're already a little bit salty.
That's enough of that, right?
You don't need to be having fun in another country. I think that's how that would go.
Well, but also the broadcast challenge they're in, right? I mean, it's...
Oh, we have so many partners. You don't know about the Odyssey Madrid situation?
Well, it would be Odyssey.
Stop, guys.
I'm just saying.
I'm so mad.
In the Cathillion, it would be Odyssey. No. I'm just saying.
Stop.
It's one part audacious.
one part bold.
Audacious and bold. So
now, what is it? It's Odyssey. Odyssey. One part Odyssey and one part audacious. Right?
I'm not even sure anymore. Yeah. But yeah, so that would, if we're doing three trips, that becomes a lot. But again, if it's like the thing that everyone should probably understand about me is that if it's for work, that's always fine.
It's always for work when it involves the sports teams in town.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, if it's for work, like, it's my wife is understanding. When it's just me being like, hey, me and some buddies are going to be gone for, I don't know, 10, 12 hours
but
on Sunday.
When has that happened?
It doesn't happen. Okay. That's my point. And that's why I don't do it for the most part. Because that's like, hey, I know you deal with everything. You do 99 things for every one thing I do. And I want some kind of medal every time I do the one thing. And I want some congratulations. And you work incredibly hard. And you do everything and I don't.
This is me talking to my wife?
Yeah. No, this is me.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to screw around for hours at a time and not be out of pocket. Is that good? And just dump some more stuff on you.
I got to.
That's the thing I can't do. But if it's for work, it's like totally
it's
understood.
Work. Yes. I got a text from somebody on the Commander's front yesterday.
Yep.
When we were talking about Christmas. And we were discussing the, going to Landover for the Christmas Day game. And they're like, of course you'll be able to get out of family responsibilities and everyone will be understanding. It's your job. Don't worry about it. And my wife's very understanding. That's true. It's also me to some extent. There is a guilt part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Where she's going to have, at that time, four kids, man.
Four kids.
One baby. That's like months old baby.
Oh, yeah.
That thing's coming in July. So by the time Christmas rolls around, there's some math I need to do. Maybe like a 5-month-old type baby, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you got three other kids?
Yeah. And it's not like they're self-sustaining babysitting kids either.
No.
You don't have like a 15-year-old in there with a big spread.
By the way, did my discussion yesterday, I don't want to say I got a lot of heat, but there were certainly some people that seemed to take it the wrong way.
There were some warmer temperatures from.
Yeah. Some warmer temperatures. Did people take my complaint about the Christmas Day game yesterday as media guy not wanting to go cover a game?
I think the lazy interpretation was that.
That's not what that was for the rest. Like nobody, you know this from working with me, nobody goes to more games. Nobody's happy to go to more games. I love going to games.
There is seriously no one I know that goes to more games.
Right.
With the obligations that you have.
I love going to games. It's not work. It's part of the job, but it's also what I enjoy doing. You'll never hear me complain about that. Mm-hmm. My take on not wanting to be at Northwest Stadium for Christmas was from the perspective of a fan with a family and kids to leave people behind to go to the game. Mm-hmm. You're going to do that 10 times in a season or whatever. I'd just rather one of them not be Christmas Day. It was not a complaining media member thing, which I think some people took it to be.
Right. Which I understand.
I also get annoyed by that when I hear like the Tony Kornheiser thing of people are like, you expect me to stay up and watch the Caps game tonight? Yeah. Guy that talks about it tomorrow on the radio. I expect that.
I certainly do.
You expect me to go to a Nats game once a season or so? Yeah, actually. Like, you're going to give your take on James Wood at some point, right? I'm all in on that. I'm there all the time. I'm with you.
The thing that I never liked when I was on the other side, as just a regular person consuming the sports and the media and the things like that.
Content, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a content consumer.
Yeah.
It always used to irk me when it's like, hey, I can't go to every game, man. I don't have the money to, or I don't have the resources or the time, or I got obligations. I got to work extra jobs just to be able to pay my rent every month, whatever it is, right? I never liked the grousing and complaining with all the free stuff. You know what I mean? Where it's like the guy, when I used to love to go to then Redskins games,
right,
where like media guy would be like, you believe the free food I got in the press box wasn't the best free food I've ever had when I sat for free and parked for free and entered the game for free and watched the team that I love for free? What a miserable time. That always bothered me.
Yes.
That irked me. And I think if people weren't paying attention and didn't understand the point that you were making, which I understood very well.
Right.
I think the laziest game of telephone interpretation of that might have been Grant's complaining about going to a game.
Yeah.
You weren't at all.
No, you know what I'm saying? But I'm also open to the possibility. Like, we talk every day for 4 hours,
yeah.
4.5 hours, the only show in town that long, like we're Mike Francesa or something. And I'm happy to do it. It's not a real work. We're not digging ditches. We're not, you know, pushing boulders uphill. It might have come out that way. What I was saying, I wasn't even speaking from the perspective of covering a game as much as going to a game, mm-hmm. from the perspective of fans.
Yeah.
You know, Tailgate Ted and I were tweeting about this, and he felt the same way. Like, to leave your family on Christmas and go to the game is just not ideal.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's not a cool thing that they're playing on Christmas. It would be super cool if they were playing at Dallas at 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock. It'd be like Thanksgiving 2.0. I always want them to play on Thanksgiving.
So I guess where I'm going is that there to me is a they're big chasm, a Grand Canyon style chasm between your point about, hey, Christmas Day is a pretty special day in our family. That's kind of the main crux of your
It's not quite specific to my family. That's pretty much an everything thing.
From your perspective, like, right. Hey, that's a big deal for us. Some people, it's not that big a deal. It's like open presents the night before, and we have some eggs, and then I can do whatever I want and go to the game.
I just love the acting like it's May 9th. It's like, if you were to say one out of 365 days, that's a bad day to schedule something, what would it be?
Yeah.
The number one pick in that draft is Christmas.
So I'm just saying, there's a chasm that I think should be acknowledged between your point, hey, Christmas is pretty special, and the Chris Russell school of the NFL is a greedy Gila monster that's reaching into my pocket and torturing me, and anything that's done is a personal affront to me. The guy that, you know, goes to games and is somehow persecuted by it. I think there's
that's what he's saying. I haven't heard that. I don't want to throw him under the bus just because I haven't heard it. But yeah, if that was how it came off yesterday, that certainly wasn't the goal. But I have ranked 1 through 9,
mm-hmm.
the road games this year in the order of how interested I would be in attending them.
Okay.
This is, again, this is like a road game draft, if you will.
Okay.
Okay. So they have 9 road games. The number one game I would most like to go to on the road is Lambeau Field. Very easy to explain. That's football heaven. That place is the best. And I will say one more time, if you haven't been, that needs to be your trip this year. It is awesome. But you got to do it right. You can't just, you know, stay in Appleton, Wisconsin in a hotel and then go park at the stadium. You need to park in someone's yard. You need to give them $20. You need to eat a crock pot food out of their garage. You need to go to the bathroom in their toilet. You need to make friends with the locals. That's what I want you to do in Lambeau. Number 2, Arrowhead Stadium, Monday Night Football. I think this one's probably specific to me a little bit,
mm-hmm.
because
you've never been.
I've never been. There's like 5 stadiums I haven't attended, and that's one of them. I've been in the parking lot a bunch because I've gone to tons of Royals games covering them in the playoffs for MLB Network Radio over the years. And the parking lots are basically adjacent and shared between Kauffman Stadium and Arrowhead Stadium. But I really, really want to see a game at Arrowhead. It's also the Chiefs. It's also Mahomes. It's also primetime. It's the guy, Mahomes, and the guy chasing him after 1 year, Daniels. That one's pretty good, I think. It's hard to mess that up. You'll notice, though, Madrid has not shown up on my list.
You have not said Madrid yet.
I put Madrid 3rd just because I thought I would get too much heat if I put it lower. But as I think about it out loud right now.
You have to fly over an ocean, Grant. You okay with that?
No, I'm not. Let's all make a big fun joke about it. Like, no, I don't want to do that badly. But U.S. Bank Stadium, home of the Vikings. 1 p.m. kick on a Sunday.
That's a December kickoff, though, my friend.
Eating in Minnesota. Juicy Lucy?
No. The entire reason to go is the Juicy Lucy.
You could do a Juicy Lucy on a Friday night, a Saturday afternoon, and then on a Sunday morning.
The answer is yes. I'm doing all 3. But it's a December in Minnesota.
But here's what you're forgetting.
Sleep on that.
Indoor stadium. Okay.
You're not walking indoors to get there.
I understand. They do have jet walks and stuff, depending on where you stay, downtown. Hmm. But you're right. I'm going to deal with cold in Minnesota and Denver.
Cold.
But that's the number one stadium in America. There is not a stadium that more people have told me that I have not been to over the years that I need to go to more than that in terms of football.
I wish they were playing there earlier.
It's kind of like the San Francisco or the Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. It's like the one you've got to go see because it's the state of the art. Everyone's trying to do what they just did stadium. And if you don't go now, when do you go? So I actually, if that was not in December, I would have that 3rd. It's because it's going to be -4 degrees outside in Minnesota that I've got that 4th behind Madrid. Madrid would be 1 if I could teleport. I think.
You can't teleport, though, right?
Because I've been to Lambeau a few times.
Yeah.
If I could touch a button and be in Madrid, Spain, that's 1. But I cannot do that. I have to fly for 6 hours over top of thousands and thousands of feet of water. So that's not as fun for me.
No, that's a challenge. Okay.
SoFi Stadium in L.A., playing the Chargers, fifth. Never been to SoFi. Didn't they spend $5 billion on that joint?
I think so.
Supposed to be a marvel.
Didn't Kroenke do it himself?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Supposed to be an absolute marvel. They hosted a Super Bowl there. Carpet, beautiful, open air on the sides, breeze coming in. I want to see a game there. I put the Giants sixth over Atlanta, Dallas, and Philly. And you're going to go, ah, I don't like that. Here's why. Number one, all you got to do is take a train. Very easy travel. Number two, Christmas time in New York.
Yeah.
You've lived in New York before.
That's right.
Did you guys know that about Danny?
Yeah.
Danny, Christmas time?
It's wonderful.
It's like December 14th-ish.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree. I'm going to go have a nice dinner at a nice French restaurant. Get a little, what's the thing where they put the fire on the top of the dish? The dessert? They put
a little flambe?
A little situation?
The mousse?
Creme brulee.
Creme brulee.
A little flaming creme brulee
the
thing.
Creme brulee.
That French restaurant you sent me to?
Yeah.
I didn't have a jacket, and I walked in. They'd hand me a jacket.
The place was awesome, wasn't it?
That was, my wife still talks about it 14 years later.
Uh-huh.
I got to go back there. I got to go back
All
there.
About that. Yeah. Now, you got to deal with, if there was snow before and the snow melts a little bit, those, like, standing water puddles on the sides of roads.
Yuck.
That's the only part about, that's not great. But, yeah, you're getting around. You're going to do the touristy stuff. You don't have to. You can do whatever you want.
New York City in the winter, though, acknowledge.
It's gorgeous.
Pummels New York City in the summer.
Oh, 100%. Pummels. Oh, it's not close.
Because it doesn't stink terribly.
Oh, it's not close. And, dude, people don't understand. In the winter, in between all those tall buildings, the wind whips. It is the windy. It's like that in Chicago. It's like you. It cuts right through you. It's so cold. But in the summertime, for whatever reason, the air can't move. It's trapped. You feel like you're in a prison of heat and swampiness and moisture and mosquitoes and, New York in the summer sucks.
So
just like D.C.
So then I've got Falcons in Atlanta after that, Jerry's World, and then the Eagles last. What did I get wrong?
Here's my list. Lambeau, yes, we agree. My number two is Atlanta. I want those cheap concessions. It's an easy trip. It's an easy little trip, but I want to see Hall of Famer Arthur Blank in his element. I want to see what got him into the Hall of Fame.
You're putting the Falcons trip second
so
that you can get a $2.50 hot dog.
Number one, yes. Number two.
It is also a silly stadium that they host everything in.
And it's a pretty cool yard. I'd like to see a win. There's a great chance at a win going there. I like the team's chance to win. That's a good one.
But you ever been to Atlanta?
Plenty.
Eh.
Oh, Atlanta. Not even eh. It's
so you're out on Atlanta.
Atlanta stinks.
I don't know if I'm out, but I'm it's just not that fun for me. You're making it your number two destination of
number
the season.
Two. I want cheap concessions and a win. Number three, Madrid.
What if I just paid the extra $30 for your concessions? Where would it rank?
If you weren't
paying for your concessions.
By the way,
this is the cheapest Danny Rea thing ever that the Falcons are
doing. But my shtick answer, but also kind of my real answer, it is my rabid curiosity as to what made Arthur Blank Ring of Honor worthy. Show me what you've built. I want to go see this Hall of Famer.
Got him
before Julio Jones did. You know what I mean? Like, let's go. Number three, Madrid. Number four, Kansas City. Number five, you touched on it, New York City in the Christmas time. Number six, Minnesota. The stadium's intriguing. It's Minnesota in the winter.
So if it was September, it's much higher.
It would be two.
Okay.
It'd be just behind Lambeau.
Even though you might have to pay like $11 for your concession.
I don't care about that. I'm not paying.
Seems like you do.
I'm not buying anything. I'm not buying a single concession. I'm buying Juicy Lucy's everywhere.
Okay.
It should be the burger for the country. The fact that every city is not just pummeling the Juicy Lucy's irresponsible. It's unbelievable. So that's number six. Number seven, and this is kind of the, I don't really want to do this trip. Seven is Philadelphia because it's so easy. It's just a quick train. Eight is L.A. That's across the entire nation. Fart noise. I hate L.A.
But you haven't been to the beautiful SoFi Stadium.
Don't care.
Okay.
That doesn't do anything for me at all. It's so far. Coming back is even worse.
So
it's
nine's like Jerry's World?
You lose 2 days, and I never want to go to that place. I have no interest ever.
You haven't been yet?
No.
It's.
I like to be toes up with people saying nice stuff around me, hopefully. A couple stories here and there. Maybe everybody cracks a joke and says something funny that I did. And they say their nice goodbyes, and then they have a meeting where they divvy up my limited assets. I like to be cold and dead in the ground without ever having visited Jerry's World.
What's your number one pick in the draft for where you'd want to see a road game this year? And what would be your last pick, the place you'd least like to travel to this season? So my list is number one pick, we're going with a Lambeau Field visit. And my last pick would be going back to Lincoln Financial Field. I'm good.
Yeah, Lambeau, boring, so we both have the same one. My other one's in the top, Atlanta and Madrid. And last forever is Dallas.
Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's a secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup Podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks much for making the show part of your day. We are live at Capital One Arena. We'll get you a preview of the Caps and the Canes next hour. We're taking you up to 6:30. Got to get you a Caps to Score a Goal draft in the final segment today at 6 o'clock as well. By the way, the Commanders are favored in 12 games this season based on the schedules and the initial odds that came out.
Wow.
Last night, I saw this via Neil Greenberg, our buddy from the Washington Post. Opening lines released, I think it was via DraftKings for him, but you can look anywhere and they're pretty comparable. If it stands right now and opens the season the way that it looks, the dozen games where Washington's favorite at kickoff would be the most for the team since 2000 when they had 14. Now, that year, you'll remember, their head coach got fired, Norville Eugene Turner.
Yes, of course.
3 weeks to go. They finished the season 8-8 under the Terry Rabinski regime.
Rabinski.
He went 1-2 down the stretch in December. But the 99 team, my favorite team ever, number two in offense, got to the playoffs and got a win at home against Detroit, went to Tampa Bay. They were up 13-0. They're on the precipice of the NFC Championship game before they lost 14-13. Then they go into the offseason. That was Snyder's first year as the official runner of the organization. He spent $100 million, mostly on over-the-hill guys. That was Bruce Smith and Mark Carrier and Jeff George and those types of players. But there was so much hype. There was so much hoopla. Nobody knew that you couldn't buy wins at that time. It was one of the first teams to really go big in that way. And then coming off of an 8-win season when you had underachieved anyway with a new head coach supposed to have kind of galvanized everything moving forward, the thought was this team's going to be a playoff team. And then it was a huge disappointment. But this is the most favored games for Washington since that 2000 season.
And that's with a step up in schedule, right? I mean, that's with a far more difficult path ahead than last year. Look, I think there's six, maybe seven teams that didn't make the postseason last year, including Seattle, who was 10-7. You know, so this is no cakewalk. I'd get it if you had Cleveland a couple times or something to that effect, but they don't. That is pretty wild, man. That's the case. I know it's not all like 7-point or 6.5-point favorites in those look-ahead lines, but still, man, there was a very favorable view of this operation.
I could see them being favored 9 or 10 times. 12 feels like a lot. We'll see what it is when the games kick off, or right. I guess when the season kicks off more than anything else. All right, without further ado, we stumbled into this yesterday, you and I, and we wanted to open up the phones on this today. So we'll open up the listener lines at 800-636-1067. But the question was, and it was based on just a comment you made in passing. You said something to the effect of, with the way their schedule opens and the soft landing spot, you can get off with 3-1, maybe a 4-1 start. And you said, if you do that, and then you go 500 the rest of the way, you win 10 games. And you kind of corrected yourself and said, now I know that would be a little disappointing and everybody wouldn't be thrilled with that, but they'd be 10-7. And I jumped in and said, well, wait a second. I would sign up right now this second to go 10-7 this season, sight unseen, as opposed to letting the year play out. It's like when you've come to me before a Caps game and you'll say, hey, would you take three goals tonight or let the game happen? And I've got to then decide, okay, based on how things are trending. If we propose to you right now, deal or no deal, you got to slam the little box closed and get off the phone with the dealer and play the game, or you just accept the offer. We're giving you 10 wins for the Commanders with this schedule this year, the season after they won 12, back-to-back 10-plus win seasons for the first time since the early 90s. Are you taking that, or are you so confident in the team with the 9.5 win total going over 10 that you want to see what's behind the door?
So I would say I was surprised by your answer. And you threw this on the old Twitterverse. You conducted your own informal polling, if I may say so, where the answers were split right down the middle. People with a little bit of swag, a little bit of confidence from last year said, no, man, let it play out. Don't put a cap on this team. Don't put a ceiling on this team. I thought I was going to be the worry wart, the Chicken Little, the guy with kind of the sky falling potentially, where you're looking at A, a more difficult schedule, B, unsustainable things that happened all of last year, and you're counting on those things to continue again. I thought I'd be the one that would say, you know what? Actually, I would take 10 wins sight unseen. I would sign up for that 1,000 times out of 1,000. Because here's one of my beliefs. I think they could be better than they were last year. You could examine a dozen different metrics, right? They could be better than they were last year and still not win as many games. You don't get a Hail Mary. You don't get two of the fourth downs or five of the fourth downs, or one of your four kickers last year misses one of those big ones, or something happens where the league happens. You don't win 12 games when you're incredibly fortunate to do so. Last year, they only beat the regular season. I think it was one or two teams ended up with a winning record. Now, that something regresses in that department as well. The point is, a lot can go wrong that didn't last year. And these things have a way of kind of equaling themselves out when you step up in difficulty. So I would take 10 games right now.
So would I.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of pushback on this. Sure. So we just saw our buddy JP Finley here at Capital One Arena getting ready for the Caps and the Canes. Game 5 is tonight. Capitals trying to stave off elimination. JP of B. Mitch and Finley and NBC4 fame.
Thank you.
So we stumbled into this. What's up, buddy? You look great, by the way.
Thanks, man.
I like that jacket.
I just got this in Raleigh when I was down there.
No way. Was it just
did you go to a men's clothier? Or is it like a chain store?
You can decide. I went to Belk's. You ever been to Belk's down south?
That's a chain store.
But it was
Belk's, or is it same as Belk, which is like the heck, or the like a Macy's up
here?
Yeah,
it's like same thing. That, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, but they had a men's store separate in the Crabtree Mall. I was blown away by it was a really impressive store. You will know this. This is a Bonobos jacket. Bonobos.
I love them. Dude, I love them. They're flattering.
I was shocked they had that at Belk. I was really impressed, and it was 50% off. I got two jackets for the price of one.
Look at you.
Pretty good. Now, did you have to go get clothes because you forgot something, or did you just had some time to kill and you like shopping for clothes?
When I was a kid and lived in North Carolina, we always went to Belk. So when I saw Belk and my mom came to visit me and we had like an hour to kill and we'd already had lunch and we walked around the mall.
Just kicked
and I was
it
like,
old school.
Oh, there's a Belk
men's store.
You
and mom went to Belk.
Mom had a Belk card, got me an extra 10. It was 40% off with the Belk card, another 10.
Oh, JP.
It was great.
Man, have a day.
So I actually think I'm wearing Bonobos jeans right now, as a matter of fact.
Dude, it's a great brand. I was shocked
they
to
know
see
what they're
it
doing.
At Belk and on clearance.
How do you spell that? B-O-N-O?
It's like
B-A-N-A-S.
It's like that.
Bonobos. Okay, I've seen that.
O-B-O-S.
I didn't know they were in stores because I thought they had their own
store. Their own store. Their own online outlet.
So here's the question. We bumped our heads into this yesterday. So Danny was just making the point. They get off to a 4-1 start with their soft schedule.
Sure.
500 the rest of the way, 10-7. He's like, now I know that'd be disappointing. What I said was, sight unseen right now, deal or no deal, I would take 10 wins and run.
I saw you guys put this on social yesterday, maybe? I saw it.
But a lot of people are
it's
like,
a great
10
question.
And 7, how could you possibly? Dude, the schedule's hard. That means Jaden was probably healthy.
You're nailing Vegas has it at 9.5, right?
You're hitting the over.
Right. Yeah.
Now I understand that they could also win 11 or 12 games, but they could also win 8 or 9. Like something could go badly.
Sure. And your point about getting the bounces, I think is pretty. So what I think is most impressive is I think they have now built a 10-win team, right? Like I think that's maybe not floor, but I think that's who they are, is a double-digit win team. I think this is a league largely driven by offense. I think they really worked hard to make their offensive line better, which is way more sustainable than, like, chasing defensive stats. It's just so much variance with that. I think 10, sight unseen, if that's the deal, I think you're in the playoffs.
That's the
10
thing
wins, you're in the playoffs.
Made. So I would say it at what?
You're probably the sixth seed.
85% clip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like right? Seattle 10 won 7. 10 games last year, didn't make it.
Right.
That didn't happen.
There is typically a 10-7 team that like gets frozen out via tiebreaker.
Is that typical? Or
That's
is there
a
like
question.
A I feel like 9-8? Like we've only had this expanded playoff with the three wild cards for a few years. So the data might be too small to like punch up the numbers. But I feel like you see the in the hunt graphic and you got eight and nine. You know what I mean? Like 10 to me, you're in.
What it really comes down to is how sold are you on Daniels being so elite that they're in, they have a chance to win every weekend, I guess. And this, the idea that like ESPN's got them sixth in football, NFL Network's got them sixth in football. I guess if people think they're that good, then maybe you say, I'm going to play this out. Let me see what's behind the door. I admit I've just been at this movie theater too long.
Sure.
And I am worried about opening the door and, you know, the getting punched in the face too. Like that could happen.
Sure. I am trying to like kind of recalibrate my brain. The punches in the face were a different group from the top down. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
This group, we haven't seen any of that. So I'm trying to approach it differently, but it's hard to just like remove the skepticism from your brain that we experienced for 25 years.
I think it's harder to write the second bestseller than the first, though.
Sure.
So while what you're saying is totally true, like Dan's gone, there's a real front office that's actually good. There's a coaching staff that's much better than the last few. And of course, you've got the quarterback you look for 30 years. There's also the idea that harder schedule, you're getting everyone's best shot, you're not surprising anybody.
And Daniels goes down awkwardly against Carolina. If it's slightly more awkward, 0.1% more awkward, maybe it's multiple cracked ribs and it's 2 months that he doesn't play instead of being not quite the same for a month and a half.
Yeah.
And we're right there. That when he got at the goal line against Atlanta, he got his bell rung, and Marcus Mariota had to pick him up by the bootstraps.
Sure.
He clearly didn't seem like everything was great, and he's the running game. My point is, like, we were dodging knives like the Matrix last year, and it worked, and it was awesome. I had more fun than I've had in a long time, but it all went their way. And if it doesn't, one time, two times, that's why I'm saying I would take 10 wins because it means a lot of stuff went right.
I don't think that's a crazy thought. I think you have to separate injuries, right? Because – what is Detroit if Goff goes down? Like I think any team. Like, what are the Ravens if Lamar goes down?
Yeah.
Quarterback is just such an important, outsized important position that the injury factor is there for everyone. If you want to say it's higher for Jaden because of the running, I can comprehend that. But that is its own thing. I think the only real coin toss or probably even long shot win is the Hail Mary to me. That's the only one that was like, wow, that never happens, and it happened. Outside of that, like, did they get the bounces? Yes, but I also think Jaden's not a guy. Most bounces and that kind of crazy endings come on turnovers or really poor clock management late. And I believe Jaden's not a guy that turns it over a lot. That's just kind of who he is. And I think that is a huge factor. And I think by and large, their clock management was really good. I thought they were great being aggressive late in the first half. I thought that was like a staple all season. And I think you steal 3 points when you have 36 seconds on the clock. Like, those little things matter. And that leads me to believe that those things should continue.
And that's where having the playmaker running quarterback.
Totally.
End of those halves is just a game changer. And they stole points, as you said, all year. I totally agree with the point, too. The Hail Mary game is the one that you go back and go, that's a 1 in a 50 chance or whatever.
Sure, right. Yeah.
But
different than New Orleans where they're going for 2 to win it. That's 50-50.
Sure.
But look
at the Vikings, though. Like, when they went 13-3 or 4, whatever it was, and they won, like, 9 games in the last
game,
everyone said they can't do that the next year, and they didn't. They went, like, 4-5. And Washington won all of those games that came down to the wire. That year-over-year doesn't really – like, they were – 22 of 25 on fourth down.
Sure.
That's not happening again. But the 10 wins, I think, is the fascinating number to say, deal or no deal, you take it, or do you want to see what's behind the door?
And the response was overwhelmingly negative?
Well, I would say we're about to hit the phones, 800-636-1067. It was about 50-50, but the early return was, you're crazy if you would just take 10 wins right now.
That you're underselling them.
Exactly.
I wonder if you make it 11, how different that is.
I would hope it's a lot different.
I would say at 11, that should be 80, like.
At what point do we go, people are being insane?
Right.
Like, 14-3 ain't coming through. You know, like, come on.
Totally. I mean, the 10 win thing, you're on the Vegas number.
Like, I'm as excited as everybody else. It's been 1 year. Can we just relax a little bit? The idea that this is just how it's going to go for the next 5 years, I think people are putting the cart before the horse a little bit on this.
What's interesting with, if you look at the Texans, is everybody's like, oh, sophomore slump, and they're still in the divisional round of the playoffs, right? Yeah. Like, it looked a little different. It was a little clunky. I also think
they were a lot better on defense, though, I'd say. They had great pass rushers. Washington doesn't have any of those.
I think I think a huge part of a continued success, and I eventually this road will end out, will end, but keeping the offensive staff together is really hard to do. They got everybody back. I mean, they got everybody back on both sides. What'd they lose? An assistant linebackers coach?
Right.
That's unheard of.
It's crazy.
Not for just like more, not in a bad way, but there's general turnover on every staff every year.
It's stunning, yeah. It's great.
That was a big surprise to me. Even like a passing game coordinator doesn't go get an OC job or something.
Shocked, yeah. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, boys.
Have fun,
hopefully
buddy.
They win.
I like the hockey jersey.
Yeah, this Nats. Is the Nats giveaway.
Yeah, this was the giveaway.
I think those got sent to the station, right?
Yeah.
It looks good on you. It looks
Thank
good.
You, buddy. Yeah. I mean, you're trying to make me feel good because you got an Oboes jacket on and I've got
right.
like a giveaway on.
Looks very good.
I think it looks cool.
Well.
And Stallion's like, gosh, it's so cold in here. You're wearing shorts.
Yeah, he is.
It's an ice rink.
Yeah.
It's ice.
You got to know what's happening. All right. We will get to your thoughts on this next. 10 wins, or are you going to see what's behind the other door and play it out? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Want to catch up with the national pastime in a short time? Tune into the Morning Lineup podcast. Every weekday, in less than 10 minutes, we'll bring you all the wonderful...
He's done it again! See ya! A monster two-run home run!
All the wild...
Here comes Ramos! This game is over!
All the weird...
Contreras is chewing on the tape.
...that makes the MLB season special. Check out the Morning Lineup on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Capital One Arena, ahead of tonight's Game 5, Caps and the Canes. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Yesterday, we're discussing the Commanders' schedule. Danny made the point if Washington gets off to a fast 4-1 start, they could play 500 the rest of the way and win 10 games. And then he made the observation that a lot of fans might be disappointed if they only won 10 games this year. My point is, I would take that sight unseen right now. Sign me up. Let's go 10-7. Get into the playoffs as a wild card and see what happens in the dance. But we got some pushback on that on social media, so we wanted to hit the phones at 800-636-1067. It's a little Grant or Danny, deal or no deal, you get 10 wins, or you get to see what's behind the door when they play out the season. Let's go to Josh in Fredericksburg on G&D. What's up, Josh? How are you? Josh, you there, buddy? Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm there. I would take the 10 wins, but I would win the warm fuzzy. I would do it only if one of the wins was guaranteed on the Eagles.
Meaning that they could still be alive in the division, okay. Or just because so you'd like to be Philadelphia?
Yeah, a division win against the Eagles. If that's thrown in, then I'll take it.
But I'm asking, is it because you think then they would have a chance to win the division, or is it because you just want to beat Philly?
Well, yeah, to help with possibly climbing the division and seeing gotcha. If they can get the division as well.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
Appreciate
I think 10-7 is not good enough to win the East. I think when you're taking the 10-win option, Danny, and you're taking off the table the 11 or the 12-win season, you're punting on winning the East probably because Philly's an 11-ish win team or better. I mean, you could, in a tiebreaker to his point, win the division at 10-7. I just say it's unlikely. I think you're basically saying, I'm okay with a wild card playoff berth and going on the road in the first round. Which, by the way, is what they just did when
they literally just
Tampa
did.
And Detroit and got to the NFC title.
And again, the thing, and by the way, it's not unreasonable to say, no, we're good. Let it play out. I don't think that's crazy. My point that I'm going to try to make, and I'm not going to do a good job making it, is they could be better. I think they will be better than they were last year and have a lot worse record. Talking about like a 20% worse record is kind of what I'm predicting. I mean, there's a reason Vegas has them at 9.5 wins, but everybody in the world's got them in the top 5, 6, 7, 8 in the power rankings. They'll be better than last year in a lot of ways, but may not finish with the same record.
Derek's in Waldorf on Grant and Danny. Derek, you taking the 10 wins or you playing the game?
Man, hey, listen, fellas, I wouldn't be mad if they won 10 games next year, but I'm punting, man. I'm not taking that 10 win because I'm gonna tell you why. Just like you just said, I believe the team is gonna be better. Like, they did what they did last year. They won some close games, but that's the NFL nowadays, right? And so they did what they did last year. They grew from that. I can't imagine that as a franchise, they didn't grow from last year's experience. And I know we said there only beat two teams that ended up the season with winning records. However, they beat two playoff teams. So we can't take away the credit that they had a good season because right. they only beat two quote-unquote good teams. They beat two playoff teams.
And to be clear, thanks for the call.
Thank you, buddy.
That's true. He's talking about the two wins in the playoffs. But what he's also referencing is they beat two teams all year that were playoff-caliber teams with winning records.
Right, and the reason I brought that up isn't to take away from it. A lot of people were doing that last year. I'm saying that's not on your schedule this year. Yeah. Last year it was. Where they only had a couple chances to beat playoff teams. They're going to have 9 or 10, maybe 11 this year.
So my answer when I say take the 10 wins is twofold. One, 10 wins in the playoffs is a good season for any team, really, unless you are one of the elites in the National Football League where it's Super Bowl or bust. And that brings me to point number two. I don't think Washington is Kansas City and Detroit and Philly yet. It seems like everybody is making them the jacket to wear to get into that club. They're lifting up the velvet rope, and I'm happy for that. This is not me complaining. I'm prideful. I'm a father watching a kid get into the club he's not supposed to be in, going, way to go, Junior. This is awesome. I'm just not there yet. My threshold seems to be larger than most people's. I need multiple seasons of that before I say Jaden Daniels is one of the top 4 or 5 quarterbacks in the league in perpetuity, and the Commanders will never lose as long as he's around. Also, it takes a couple injuries. Like, I think they have a 12-ish win offense. I think they have probably an 8-win defense. They don't have edges that get to the quarterback. Their defensive tackle room, in my opinion, is worse than it was last year when John Allen was healthy. So if you add those two things together, that's 10 wins. Now you got a good punter and a good kicker, and if you're solid on coverage, maybe you're an 11-win team. But I'll take 10 because it means you kept your quarterback and the important players healthy. Let's go to Disco and Laurel on G&D. What's up, Disco?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. You know what? I'm 10-7 I'm good with that, but it has to be with playoffs. If 10-7 is without the playoffs, then I'm out on that. But I also sense a tinge of a little bit like, hey, we still have that. We're just happy to be here. 10-7. Like, guys, I think one of the things we're not considering is the roster, has the roster improved to the point where we can say, where are the probable losses? Because when you look through the schedule, and we know health is critical and all of that, who are we actually picked to lose against? So I'm not saying we're going 17-0. I'm not saying that at all.
I get
but
it.
If the roster has improved, particularly on the offense, we don't know the defense. I think what we're falling victim to is, well, we don't have a named edge rusher that we can feel comfortable with. Yeah, I know that guy, so he's going to get 10, 12, 14 sacks. But if we think the roster is better, why are we saying we're 2 wins worse?
So a couple of things on that, and we'll answer that question next. Where are the probable losses? The idea that based on the odds, they're 12-5 team right now, and we're saying we'll take 10-7. And are they a better team? Let's get into that next. We do have Tom Gallitti of NHL.com and NHL Media coming up at 5:30 live from Capital One Arena. You're listening to The Fan.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
all of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads. We got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.